Let's do it.
Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Tonight we're talking bourbon. I think it's bourbon. I think they're all bourbons. Well, we're talking whiskey and music. Danny, how are you this evening?
Been a while, Craig. Good to see you guys.
Yeah. Jay, how about yourself?
I'm so glad I finally get to sit in on one of these. This is good. This is terrific.
Well, you know, we're going to start out, for those who have not listened to our whiskey podcast yet, we'll start out, we'll kind of taste the first one, get a little feel for it. But as we're tasting it, I'll ask you guys a couple music questions here and kind of give my feedback on music as well. We kind of change the subject up every week or so far it's been a couple weeks since we've done this, but go ahead and start sipping. All of these have something in common to each other, but at the same time are very different. So at the end, we'll get this out. But as we're sipping, let's go to Jay first. Well, I'm going to give him my, no, I'll go last. Jay, if you had one or two albums that you could listen to without skipping a song, what would those be?
You know what? I actually am going to give you two. Now, I may think of more later, but the two that come to mind are Bob Seger's Live Bullet.
Ooh.
And maybe my favorite all-time studio album, Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette.
Damn it, you got me on both of those. Excellent choices.
Thank you very much.
But Danny, your thoughts on...
There you are.
Well, I guess we're back up. I don't know what happened there. Hopefully both of these come through. So I apologize to the listeners, but we're talking whiskey and music. Jay brought up Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette, who I actually got to see in Memphis open for Hootie and the Blowfish. So excellent, excellent night. But Danny, if you had two... Now, I know you're a little younger than Jay and I, but did you actually have albums growing up or at any time, or were you already a CD guy?
No, I can remember some albums in my... So we used to have a record player in the living room when I was real young, and I remember that just a wee little bit. And I can remember some records. I got my musical taste from my mom because she was big into heavy metal and power ballads, which, yeah... people look at me today. What's an AC/DC? Who's a Guns N' Roses? What do they do? But and my grandparents had some of the older ones. They had a record player too. Just thinking about that.
So do you have a couple?
Do you have a couple albums that you could, or CDs or whatever, the music that you can listen to if you popped them in that you could listen without skipping a song?
For sure, the Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction, without Excellent. A doubt. I'll say Metallica's Black Album.
There you go, there's two.
That a little surprises me, but you talked about your upbringing, that kind of makes sense. For me, the two that I thought of until Jay blew me away with his two choices, which I can do, the first one would be Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell.
Great album.
That's a fantastic album.
And I'm with you. I wouldn't skip a song on that. That's a great album.
For the longest time, though, I couldn't stand Heaven Can Wait. But then once you learn and you listen to it, you're like going, okay, now you got me.
Yeah, no, it's a great album. And I still think offering your throat to the wolf with the red roses is just a, you know, what a great word picture. No, a great album. What's your other one?
Well, you and I are going to have to sit one day because I'd like to go through the lyrics on that whole album. Because sure. I think we could sit and talk bourbon and talk just that album.
We could probably drink a fifth of bourbon and talk that album. What's the other one?
The other one will be Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks.
Nice.
So, but to your point, Seger's Live Bullet is just phenomenal and is the first actually record I heard of Seger's was Live Bullet before Main Street. Night Moves and all that stuff was Live Bullet from my sister's album collection. And Nine Tonight, Live Bullet 2, essentially, is also another one I think I could do.
You know, I think a real classic on that album is the medley of Traveling Man, Beautiful Loser.
Yes.
It's the one time where both of the songs are together and having them both as the live on the live book are so much better than the two studio songs.
They really are.
That that really made the album for me is Traveling Man, Beautiful Loser.
You know, there are not a whole lot of albums I can listen to completely through. There's probably a couple Beatles, but I was trying to think about this on a Rolling Stones album, and I never was a Rolling Stones, but Tattoo You and Some Girls, I'm pretty sure I could listen all the way through.
Yeah, and you know, the Beatles, Abbey Road is, I could listen to that all the way through. You know what? I saw a concert last night that I really, really liked, and Lana Del Rey's Born to Die is an album I can listen to all the way through, and she sang quite a few songs from it last night, which kind of got me fired up.
Danny, your thoughts on our tasting of number one there as he polishes it off there. Now, I will admit that you had, because of the limits and what I could send you through the mail, you have smaller portions than we do. So there may be a difference in our voices between yours and Jay and I when we're through.
The smell, to me, I got the caramel right away, which I think it smells phenomenal. The finish gets you on the way, way end.
Yeah, I was noticing
way, way end.
At the bottom of your neck as opposed to when it first, or the bottom of your throat as opposed to when it first starts to slide. Jay?
I'm with you on the caramel. After smelling it, I think the burn surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect quite as much. So that was the surprise to me, but I'm with Danny on the caramel with the nose.
The thing that really is, and I don't know if it's maybe my taste buds are changing, I'm starting on the taste side to get a lot of candy apple flavor that I hadn't in the past with certain whiskeys. I seem to be getting a lot of that more often. So, but. Let's go ahead and move on to number two since Danny's...
You haven't finished number one yet.
Well, because I'm leaving a little bit in each one so I can go back and kind of compare at the end.
All right.
So, which I did not explain to Danny as he polished it off. So, Danny, number two question as we get into music.
Yes.
What song... Well, two things. We'll go with the first question first because that would be the better way to do it. What song would surprise people that you enjoy that people wouldn't think that you would enjoy? Does that make sense? I've had whiskey. I'm a little stumbling.
I need to think about that one.
All right, Jay, I know you've got... Oh, my gosh. That was surprising as it hit my mouth. And that
was... You were talking about whiskey.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if it's a song. Okay. I can give you a group.
Okay.
All right. I have been a closet ABBA fan forever. From the get-go, it's not something that makes you hip at all. Okay. But I've always liked ABBA. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. The other guilty pleasure, and somebody said, that's not a guilty pleasure, that's just really good, is Enya, who I know you're not a big fan of, but those
in your business.
That, but that artist and that group are both very guilty pleasures of mine.
Danny, you thought about that or need a little more time?
Man, there's a bunch of them that are, but one that would surprise.
Ooh. Yeah, it kind of
yeah. That
kind of says hello.
Yeah, it does.
My name is, and I just punched you in the mouth.
Yep,
and I enjoyed it.
Whereas the first one burned on the taste, this one burns late on the sniff.
Yeah,
which is strange because you're thinking it's nice and soft, and then oh fuck, it takes some of your hairs off.
Well, I'm gonna go while Danny's thinking a little bit, and I think people that are really close to me know. The Bee Gees, and I don't care if it's early Bee Gees, late Bee Gees, And I write a lot about them on Facebook. And I know some people think I'm joking, but I am a huge Saturday Night Fever fan. And I love the Bee Gees. And I call it a guilty pleasure because some people don't really they think I'm joshing.
And at the same time, it's kind of like ABBA from the standpoint of, you can say guilty pleasure, but they're one of the more successful groups like ever. And ABBA's kind of the same way. I get it. And look, when they named disco, they shortened the true name because they left off sucks. Okay. And, but having said that, you know, even Bee Gees disco is okay, which is about as much as I'm going to praise disco.
Okay. Danny, we're coming back at you again for number three time.
All right. I got to give credit for this to both Colin and Daryl Lynn because they've got me a little on country. I'm not a country fan much at all, but Travis Tritt's I'm Gonna Be Somebody has become one of my favorite songs since I moved down here.
All right.
Yeah. Now, if I had to pick a song that nobody likes, but I really do. Yeah, Safety Dance. I'm just saying.
For me, it's Rock Me Amadeus, Falco.
Yeah, okay.
And I want the long version, not the three-minute radio edit. I want the one that comes in with the intro in 1472. Such as I want the long version.
I got you.
And even if it's in the German version, I says,
Ach du meine Güte.
Yes. Darlin, you want to comment? You got a guilty pleasure there? No, you don't want to comment. Okay.
Oh, then she disappeared.
Yeah.
It's like she's gone. Oh, now she's back.
All right, good enough. Guys, number two, your thoughts on our second? For me, I'm getting a little bit alcohol-y, though, on the nose here.
Yeah.
And it's not the most pleasant of noses to me, but at the same time, it's got something that I really enjoy on the taste. So
I got a caramel on the back end. I agree with you on a little bit more alcohol-y. But I will say this, I think I like this one better than number one.
I do enjoy the taste. It'll be interesting to see when we pull it up, though, if this is a higher proof. So far, it feels like a higher proof.
Does it to you?
A little bit.
Okay. To me, number one was a higher proof, but we'll see.
Danny?
I think this is a little bit higher proof, but I'm getting something. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like something something might be charred on the back end.
Heavy char? Either
charred or toasted. And I don't exactly know what, but it feels like that there's a little bit of a crackle right before it hits.
Okay. I'm very interested because, like I said, I always pour these a day or two before so that I don't remember what order they're in. And Danny doesn't know because I sent him a box that was labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and where they were. Because we're not always going to go in order. That way I make sure I don't know what order we're in. But it'll always be 3, and it'll always be a subset of 1 through 3, 4 through 6. And I'm not going to do any more math.
Can I give you one more individual song?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going back to the late 60s for this, okay? Roy Clark's Yesterday When I Was Young. And, of course, you know, Roy Clark, of course, was on Hee Haw. And he was a funny guy and did a lot of that stuff. Yesterday When I Was Young is one of the more poignant songs I think I've ever heard. And I can tie it into sports, which is great, because Mickey Mantle requested that Roy Clark sing that song at his funeral, and he did. And that makes the song even more meaningful than it was before I knew that fact. But that is...
You know, it wasn't until Mickey Mantle passed away that I had heard this. All right. I remember hearing the song, but absolutely agree with you. Great song. And although it's in the same genre as what you're talking about, it's not nearly as sentimental, but just it's sentimental to me because of my dad, but Buck Owens, You Got a Tiger by the Tail.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see.
As Danny rolls his eyes back, and we're going to move on to whiskey number three.
Well, come on, I thought that was okay. It was, yes, you know, semi-on pitch anyway. That's it.
And now this is what happens when you don't write your questions down and you start drinking whiskey. You tend to forget a little bit, but that's okay. We'll go there and see where we are. And so number three. Oh, I'm back to actually this time I'm tasting. Well, we're going to go to the music side of it here. And I know this is not an easy question, especially for you or I, but at the same time, your favorite group, is there such a thing? I'm not sure I could.
Yeah, I don't know. Some folks have asked me that, and two of my all-time favorites are actually, you know, there's a lead singer and the rest of the group, but you know, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, both of those are really, really high on my list. Back in the 70s into the 80s, I was a real Styx fan.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to pick a group that I could just go back to and at any time put some of their music on and really enjoy it, I think I appreciate Queen more now than I did when they were big in the mid 70s on. I think I appreciate them more now than I ever have.
Okay, and I'm going to switch this up, Danny, unless you've got something right there you want to go with that hearing his. But is there we'll do this, and then we'll come back to another question after this. So, yeah, I'm sorry. So your thoughts on favorite group or
my favorite group's always been AC/DC, but Queen, I love Queen. Freddie's the best frontman ever, and I've always been a big Foreigner fan too. I just
okay. Let me ask you a question. You said AC/DC, and of course they've had, like Van Halen, they've had two lead singers.
Yeah.
Do you favor one over the other?
I could listen to both just because the uniqueness of the sound, and I know that when Bon passed away, it was okay, we got to find a guy, and then Brian Johnson was an accident, and the first song he actually wrote was You Shook Me All Night Long when they had Back in Black, because it was, they had to come back strong. Holy fuck, Back in Black. I should have said that album, because that's one that's just, but I think for me AC/DC is going to be Brian Johnson just because he's done it for a lot longer. But for the purists, they'll say that, well, Bond wasn't the original guy. Dave Evans was the original guy. Can I say Next to You Girl that Bond ended up doing the cover of? He got known for it, but Dave recorded it first. But for a lot of people, probably rightfully so, Brian is the voice of AC/DC.
I, you know, you mentioned Back in Black, and that is, you know, if I were going to list like maybe the top 20 albums ever, not necessarily my favorites, but those that I think as a music lover, I can come to appreciate, I think that album would be on that list. I think it was an album that had a lot of folks suddenly become influenced by AC/DC because of that album. But Hell's Bells is my favorite.
Yeah, to lead with that, just the tying everything in, holy shit, that's just, I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
And I probably absolutely agree with both of you. That album is iconic.
Very influential.
Influential, can listen to front to back. But for me, and it's just when I grew up, the songs that had rock and roll in it, rock and roll ain't noise pollution, is still, you know, Have a Drink on Me. Ah, man, now you guys got me wondering what my musical taste really is.
Have a drink on me. Wasn't that an ABBA song?
Yeah. No.
Have a drink on me. I'm sorry.
No. So great, great call there, Danny.
Have a drink, have a drink, have a drink, have a drink, have a drink on me.
That's great. Okay. Did you chime in on this yet?
No, I didn't. Okay.
It's your turn.
I am struggling with the fact that I am a huge Doors fan. And this is going to be one of the weirdest things for people listening. I'm a huge Doors fan, and I already talked about the Bee Gees. But at the same time, I'm right up there with Barry White.
We got it together, baby.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm going like, so I...
Nobody but you.
Well, which we'll get into all that after this. But let's talk about the...
I'm sorry, I just... Let's be Barry White.
Let's talk about this third one. I thought, to me, I think I said the first one I had the candy apple on the finish on the taste, but when I'm hitting this right off, I've got some candy apple there, and maybe even some banana. It's very, very fruity.
The first time I put it up to my nose, I had more alcohol than the other two. And then when I did it again just now, it's almost got a little bit of cinnamon to it.
Yes. But not overpowering.
Oh, like not at all.
Like a Red Hot or anything right. like that.
Correct.
Danny?
This is, for me, the most balanced of the three. It doesn't, it's not real light. It's not real hard. And I don't know where I'm getting this from, but I'm almost smelling and tasting a little lemon.
Now you got us all.
And I don't know why. It's for some reason it's triggering a lemon. I have no idea.
But now, when I went back, I got it on the nose a little bit, not so much on the taste.
But even the taste, it's nice and smooth. It's not real. It doesn't punch up top. It doesn't punch down low. It's just nice, nice and even.
And I'm with you. I think it's my favorite of the three.
All right, so let's kind of finish, not necessarily kill these, but let's kind of sip on these.
And just talk more music?
And talk some more, exactly. Okay. If you had one group or one person, Jay, that you and I both have seen a lot of concerts, probably well over 100 each, maybe over 200. But if you had one group, person that you hadn't seen in concert, for whatever reason, who would it be?
Or well, you know, I'll go back. My biggest regret was never seeing Queen in concert. It's the biggest regret I've ever had as a music fan, is not seeing Queen in concert. And I had a chance to do it when they played in Baton Rouge, and I didn't go. I don't remember why I didn't go. But it's the biggest regret I've ever had as far as a concert is concerned, that I never saw Queen live.
I did see them.
I know you did. It's one more reason to hate you.
Yeah, 81 I saw them. Billy Squire opened for them.
Ooh,
that's a hell of an opening act.
Okay.
And but I saw them in Biloxi because at the time, I think they were playing in Baton Rouge at whichever venue it was. Had reserved seating, and we went to Biloxi so that
it was festival season. You could get in the pit.
Yes.
There you go. That's what I'm talking
Danny,
about.
Danny, anybody that you have not seen, I don't know if you're, are you a concert goer at all or anything like that?
I've only been to a couple. I didn't go to a concert until, I think, 2011. And I mean, her and I just went to a great show in Nashville last summer. It was a little big town. It was George Strait and it was Stapleton, which was awesome. I'm not a country guy, but I told her, look, if you find one with Stapleton, I'll go. And it just so happened that George Strait was going. I can do that one. That's, by the way, for 71, he is in phenomenal shape. He might have been the best. It was really, really cool. But to echo Jay, I would have loved to have seen Queen. I would have loved to have seen AC/DC before Malcolm passed. And I think that Kiss in concert would have been a lot of fun, too.
Now, I did see Kiss in, of all places, Lake Charles, at the Civic Center there. Now, none of us can match our compadre from Georgia State.
No.
Dave Cohen, who has seen Kiss 60 times.
He is the president of the fan club.
Yeah. He's seen Kiss more than Dan McDonald saw Jimmy Buffett. And I didn't know that that was possible to see an artist that many times. I mean, I saw Springsteen 4 times and I thought I was somebody, right?
I saw Kiss as well, and like Charles at 79, 78.
Well, we were there together, but not together.
Yes. And then I did see them on their farewell tour recently here in the Cajun Dome. And I don't know how much of it was lip sync or any of that, or how much of the music was piped in, but you don't go to Kiss for the music. You go for the show and the experience. And at 70 something years old, those guys were still kicking ass and taking names. So, Kiss, you brought up. I have not seen, I never saw AC/DC. Had the opportunity in Baton Rouge, and like Jay, passing up Queen, I passed up AC/DC, just thinking it would come along. For me, I'm going to go back in time to a couple people because, you know, I was 7 years old when Jim Morrison passed away, and I'm not sure all of his shows were great, but I would have loved to have seen the Doors in their prime. So that to me is the biggest one. And another one I'm a huge fan of is Otis Redding, who passed away in Madison, Wisconsin, on a plane flight there. So,
you know, I, you mentioned Otis Redding, you mentioned the Doors. Now, can we all say that it kind of goes without saying that it had been okay to see the Beatles?
Yeah.
Is it okay to say that? You know, you and I have both seen the Rolling Stones. Okay.
I haven't.
You haven't?
I haven't seen the Rolling Stones.
I've seen the Rolling
Stones. I haven't seen Bruce Springsteen. I haven't seen AC/DC. You know, I've been to probably 200 concerts, but
yeah.
I'm not a huge Rolling Stones fan.
Well, I'm not either, but it's the freaking Rolling Stones.
I know, but okay? You mentioned earlier, we've not talked about this, but I know you like Start Me Up. I think it's a horrible song. I hate the song. I love the album Tattoo You, but Start Me Up, to me, sucks.
No, Start Me Up is a
good song. I know. Don't go there.
I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying that's the reason I think Start Me Up is such a great song.
Oh. Danny,
it's the best line in the history of rock and roll music.
It's not, but that's sure okay. So, all right, let's go ahead and start this. We can come back to music if need be at the end. If you guys have some questions to me or to Jay or vice versa on things.
Danny, I got a question for you since you brought it up.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of a fan and I'd kind of like to see him. How was Little Big Town?
Really good.
Were they? You know, I'm like you. I'm not a big country music guy. I've seen George Strait. I'd be okay seeing Chris Stapleton. But I've always liked Little Big Town and never seen him in concert and stuff. But I would like to.
For me, it's they've got a bunch of songs that are good, but for me personally, I have a tough time if I hear a song, remember who it is. As soon as they sang Boondocks, saying, "Oh, well, hell yeah, I've heard that song. That's Little Big Town," and it sounded really, really good live.
Is that the country artist that did Life in a Northern Town?
They were, yes, Sugarland, Little Big Town. But yeah, if you look at the video, Little Big Town was very prominent in that, and of course, it's one of, when you just talk about songs, it's one of my favorite songs ever. And it's not a guilty pleasure because everybody I know loves that song.
Yeah, if you don't like that, you have no heart.
That or taste in music.
Well, that's
But no, I yeah, Little Big Town was part of that.
All right, guys. So before we have the unveiling here tonight of what these three were, any thoughts on what they might be or anything like that?
I don't know. One of them, when I tasted it, I said, okay, we might be in the old Charter family right here. Now that I've tried three, I don't know. But that was my first thought when we started to drink this. But yeah, no, not really.
Danny?
Oh, if I can rank them, I would say 3-1-2, but I couldn't tell you when any of them were.
And I'd go 3-2-1, I think.
All right, let me hit the share button here. Hopefully you'll be able to see this, Danny, with one participant can share at a time. Oh, I know you're on your phone, so it may not be.
Oh, it's three different makers, Mark. Cool.
Yes, it is. So these are all three limited releases. And it's funny because if you look at the pictures of these, the 2019 bottle is the fullest. I didn't know this was, I had this. I was digging through some stuff and I'm going like, oh, okay. The 2023 release, limited release, is one I picked up on my trip to Tyler, Texas. Okay. And as you can see, I enjoy that one very much.
Let me, I want to make sure I'm reading this correctly. Number one is 110 proof.
Yes.
Number two is one. Was that 106, 105?
109.4.
109. And the third one is 108.
Correct.
I'm not surprised that number one is the strongest one. That's the one that I got a lot of burn at the beginning. Yep. All three of them were good. I thought it might be the old Charter family. It's the Maker's Mark family, and that's kind of wonderful.
So for those that are listening, and I will post these pictures on Twitter, but
they're all the wood finishing series.
Yes.
And they're all limited release. And Craig paid much too much money for all three, and he doesn't care.
Correct. The tasting notes for the first one, an expression with prominent wood sugars, bringing forth strong notes of vanilla, caramel, and sweet spice. Tasting notes for the second one, the 2022 release, a dark expression filled with notes of fruit, nut, and chocolate.
I don't know that I caught chocolate.
Yeah,
in the second one. I'll have to go back and try it.
The third one, the 2019 release, barrel finish for amplified notes of fruit, balancing sweet and spice. And so all of these come, what Maker's Mark does is takes their best barrels and then adds, these are all, looks like they add toasted American oak staves to all of them, 10 of them. Whereas if you get the, I should have known that, but there is another series that's not quite a limited release as these are, but I from when we first met that I was never a Maker's Mark fan,
right?
And but I've become a huge fan of their wood finishes and everything.
Well, you know, Maker's Mark, if it's your first drink of the evening, it's okay, but after that, it's just really bad.
Well,
and you did say that at one time,
yes,
maybe not in those words, but
those are my exact words. Okay. Because I tell everybody that I say, you know, if you're drinking something else and go to Maker's Mark, it's going to taste like garbage to me. So, but Danny, any final thoughts on that?
I wouldn't have thought that they were all the same family. So that's interesting.
You can usually find these. It's called a barrel finish or something like that, where they but. These were actually not horribly priced, right around $70. So, but they're hard to find. And actually, I knew they were hard to find. So the 2023 release, I actually picked up two bottles and I'm pissed now because it really became one of my favorite bourbons. But I got pissed and that only picked up two of them. I should have picked up that third one while I was there. But it is what it is. So, guys, let's finish out our music. We talked about bands we wish we had seen, Guilty Pleasures, albums from front to back, but a group that you can't stand, let's say, that maybe everybody else likes. I mean, they have to be well-known. You can't just say, well, you know, I want to go with XYZ.
And oh, God, I got two.
So, Jay, go ahead.
All right. One of them... Okay, as I mentioned earlier, I went and saw Lana Del Rey last night, at the Brandon Amphitheater in Brandon, Mississippi. Loved the concert, loved it, and went with Number Two Twin. And it's great that despite the mass difference in our ages, that there's at least one artist that we can both say, my God, I really love this artist, and Lana Del Rey is it. So it was a big thrill for the two of us to go together last night.
Wait, I got a question before you move on from that. So does that mean Number One Twin is your favorite?
No, Number Two Twin is a minute younger.
Okay.
Okay.
Just making minute, sure just, you weren't.
No, wondering. Number Two Twin's a minute younger. Two groups I can't stand. Well, Baby Girl and I talked about a band that had played at the Brandon Amphitheater recently that I just can't stand, and that's Train. And then the other band that I can't stand, you know, they've probably released 100 singles. I've liked exactly two of them, is Maroon 5.
As Danny's laughing, so we're going to you, Danny.
I don't know.
If something comes on, maybe not a group, but if something comes on, what are you immediately changing the channel on the radio to? Well, I'll tell you what, I will go with you on Maroon 5. Train, most of the times I will. Drops of Jupiter.
Oh, no, Drops of Jupiter was a great song. It was the only good song they ever did.
And I'm going back a ways, but for me, it's like the Bay City Rollers. I'm like, how in the hell? How does anybody think that was a good idea? And we were living in Germany at the time. And
let them have Saturday night. That's all they had. Just let them have it.
No, they actually had four singles.
Four singles.
I've had four drinks.
Okay.
But no, they actually, and they had a Saturday morning TV show. It's like they're, but so there, and the other one is, I'm sorry. Sweet Caroline sucks. I don't care who you are. It sucks. You're a moron if you like it. Unless you're from Boston, shut the F up. I don't want to hear about Sweet Caroline anymore.
You know, and you're right. And it's a shame because early Neil Diamond.
Yes.
You know, Solitary Man and Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show and I Am I Said and, yes. And so many other Neil Diamond songs.
I didn't like Song Song Blue. America.
Song Song Blue. But now, after about 75, he decided he was going to be more like Wayne Newton than anything else. And so he became kind of like the show guy. I miss the early Neil Diamond. I thought his early stuff was really, really good.
I'm not a fan of hers.
But I'm with you on Sweet Caroline.
I'm not a big fan of hers, but Love on the Rocks. No, wait, no. You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
And Neil Diamond, great song.
So I do enjoy that song. Danny, you've got that look in your eye that I still don't know what I hate.
It's not really groups. It's certain songs.
Okay.
And Jay's not going to like this. I've told him this before. I heard Santana Smooth so damn much when I was in high school. And I thought, I know it was the top song, but I heard it so damn much. It was every time I heard that riff, I can't hear this anymore.
Absolutely understand where you're coming from on that.
Because look, there are good songs you get sick of hearing, okay? And that song obviously is part of it for you. Now, I don't know that I was a big fan of contemporary music at the time that it came out. And so I got exposed to it later on. And honestly, it's probably when I did my countdown on my Facebook page of my favorite songs of the 90s, this was number one.
And I feel awful because Carlos Santana is amazing. He's one of the best guitar players of all time. But when you would just overplayed, you're listening to a certain station. It's
totally understand. Because look, we all have songs that we maybe liked when we first heard it, and then we got really sick of hearing it. And
All right. So from that album, what was the best song on it?
Now, I can't tell you everything that was on the album. Okay. I'll tell you another song I liked from that album was Maria Maria.
Best song on the album. Sorry.
And I, you know, that came out, I think, in 2000, and it was just a great tune.
Not as well played. Rob Thomas was the hottest singer in music at the time with Matchbox 20 and everything.
Love Rob Thomas.
In which that first Matchbox 20 album, I can listen to the whole thing and not now. It's been 30 years or so, so now I can listen to it. But I'm with you, Danny. I got burnt out on it all.
And I don't mean to say it's a bad song. It's just when it's so much, it's okay. Next, give me something else.
No, that's legit. If you got really tired of hearing it, it's absolutely legit.
Well, guys, I think we've covered the gamut tonight, and next time I will write my questions down. Although I think we covered everything that I why write my questions down? I'm used to Danny covering for me on everything the whole time going through.
Anytime you guys want to have just a music segment, I'm in.
Well,
I'd love it.
I have been looking at doing a music, but I'll probably do it over the summer when there's not as much stuff going on.
So. Oh no, there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
So, but yeah, lots of fun times ahead. So, Danny, any last comments on anything we tasted tonight or anything music wise that we might have missed on that you would like to comment on before we sign off for the evening?
Def Leppard Pyromania is a favorite album too.
Yes. So quick story there. So I just moved in our fraternity house and I kind of knew who Def Leppard was, but there were these two guys from Cutoff, Louisiana, which is way down the bayou, and they talk like that. I'm talking deep, heavy accents. And Pyromania, that you know, pours some sugar on me. I mean, just all of that. But Pyromania was blasted through the fraternity house back then. Great, great album. And I don't even think of Def Leppard when I pull up music. So, and the other one I don't think of, but I was listening to as Jay walked in, was Billy Idol, who I absolutely love. And I saw in New Orleans, probably 89, 90. So,
you know, Billy Idol is on the commercial of You're a Rock Star, You're a Rock Star. The latest one is Billy Idol on it.
So wait, before we go on, I don't know. Have you ever heard this song, which I thought was just a local song that was on the radio that they play during the traffic report? It's called Plastic Jesus. I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car. I'll be going 100 miles an hour as long as I got my plastic.
This?
The song is actually from the 50s.
Doesn't ring a bell to me at all.
Oh, well, Billy Idol's got a version of it that's very sacrilegious. So that's why
I need to hear it first. It's not ringing a bell, but I'd have to hear it first.
Okay. Jay, final thoughts?
Well, I already told you what I thought we needed to do one time is just have a music one. But this, along with some bourbon, has kind of loosened us up a little bit. So we're being even more honest about music than maybe we would have been otherwise.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always.
Danny, good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it. You too.
Darylene, go get back on that horse.
I think she's planning on at some point this weekend. We'll see.
That's a good deal.
All right. You've been listening to We're Talking. I'm Craig Melanson for Danny Reed and Jay Walker. Thanks for listening.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.